resolution.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. This agenda item is actually a potential action item. And what I wanted to do first, step back a little bit and go back through a quick overview of this plan, because I know it's confusing to a number of us as to sort of what got us to where we are as far as the structure of the plans and what we have here at the Brazos River Authority. So I was going to take just a minute to do that. And then after this agenda item, we'll go back with John, and John will lead us through the investment search that will follow up that he alluded to for the international manager and also a small and mid-cap manager. So we'll do that afterwards. But this is sort of, and then we'll talk about where we're going forward, administration, the plan, and structure-wise. Okay, first item, of course, the plan that this committee is responsible for is the first bullet, the retirement plan for the employees of the Brazos River Authority. We froze that plan in September 2007, as everybody knows, 2 years ago. And now we're dealing with how do we continue to administer and properly manage that plan going forward. We also have a 457 plan and have had for a number of years at the authority, which is a voluntary plan. It's a deferred compensation. It's where you can, employees on a voluntary basis can contribute to that plan. This is through, we currently use a firm called ICMA, the International City Managers Association, is the administrator of that plan. And employees can contribute up to, well, actually they can do more than 6% of their pay if they want to, but the authority will match 50 cents on every dollar that they contribute up to the employee putting up 6%. So the maximum the authority will contribute will be 3% of an employee's pay. And we have, you'll see in a minute, approximately half of our employees participate in the 457 plan. Then, when we froze the plan back in September 2007, we moved into the Texas County and District Retirement System, which of course is again a statewide plan that has over 300, I think it's over 300 or 400 or maybe more than that, 500 participants, primarily counties and other districts in the state that we moved into that plan. And that is now our primary retirement plan going forward. And we did that for a number of reasons. One reason, the retirement plan that you all are responsible for, and I'll talk about that in a second, is has two elements. It has both a defined benefit and a defined contribution element. It's fairly complex. The reporting for it, the transparency to employees, understanding what their benefits are and things like that are sometimes difficult to understand. We felt like that by moving to the Texas County and District Retirement System, it would bring better transparency, better understanding, and the way the plan is structured. The employees put in the TCDRS plan, the employees put in 6% of their pay, and the authority contributes 200% of that, if you will. They don't really put in 12%, but their obligation is at the end of at retirement to make a contribution that would be the equivalent of 200% of the employee's contribution. The employee contribution also has a guaranteed 7% rate of return on it. So the employees put in 6% of their pay, it is a guaranteed 7% rate of return, and then at the end of the time when the employee retires, the employer is responsible for putting in the equivalent of 200% of what the employee portion with the return is, and then there is a annuity benefit that they get at that particular point. So anyway, yes.
John, I'm confused. They can participate in the defined contribution plan.
But now what you're talking about?
They can participate in the defined contribution plan, the 401k.
Yes, yes.
Plus, and they can do the, or is that?
Well, there's a, we don't have a 401k per se.
Are
you talking about the 457 plan?
Right.
Okay. Yes, it's 457 plan. Yes.
Is the 457, can it be rolled over into an IRA?
It can be when they terminate.
It's considered a governmental plan then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's a qualified plan, and when a person leaves, they can roll that money out into and can roll it over to an IRA, or they can leave it in there. We have a number of employees who've left the authority that still have with ICMA.
And some 457 plans can't do that. That's the reason I'm asking the question.
This plan. Anyway, those are the three plans. Of course, the one again this committee's focused on is the first one that I'll talk about here in a second. But those are the other two aspects of the total retirement picture that the authority has. Next slide. Again, this is now just looking at the frozen plan. And as I mentioned before, there's two elements to it. There's a defined benefit element, and there's a defined contribution element. It was somewhat unusual back some 12 years ago or 13 years ago when this plan was put together to put both of those in a single plan. At least that's the information we get from most people we talk about, that that's highly unusual to have both of them in a single plan. And that's creating some challenges in us in how to sort of separate that and deal with it, and I'll get to that in a minute. But nevertheless, they were in a single plan. The defined contribution back then was a 3% employee contribution with a 3% employer match. And then also, as I mentioned, if you participate in the 457, the employer was obligated to match 50 cents on the dollar to that, and that went into this element of the plan back then. Okay, next slide. Again, some of this I've already mentioned. This plan originally was adopted back in 1959. It was a defined benefit only back then, and then in 1997, the board decided to create the new, what I call hybrid plan, which has both the DB and DC benefit, I'm sure as a way of controlling costs for the plan rather than a DB only, and that's where they created that. It did create three different classifications of employees, and I'll show that in a second. Obviously, when you change the plan, you've got to summon another grandfather and deal with the people that are currently in the plan and what choices they have. And again, of course, it was frozen. We froze contributions to the plan and benefits of the plan in September 2007, as I mentioned before. Next slide. Okay, this sort of shows this plan, how the participation in the plan breaks down right now. The first three lines there are the three classifications I was talking about employees. When in 97, when the new plan was created, employees had a choice. They could either stay, if they were currently here, of course, they could stay in the current plan, the DB only plan, if they want to. And currently, there are 47 of those employees that are in that made that decision. Back then, there was more than that, but at this particular point in time, that's how many active employees have a DB only benefit. Okay. Then the employees had a choice. There were some employees who were here that had a choice. They could go into the new hybrid plan, but then they had a look back provision where if at the end of their retirement the DB benefit was greater than the new benefit, they would get the greater of the two benefits. We call those transitional employees. There's 12 of those. And the reason I put one both on the DB and DC columns is that in effect they do contribute in the DC, they did make contributions to the DC plan, but they also have a DB benefit, and it depends at the end of the retirement which one's greater as to how their benefit will ultimately structure out. And then the last one are at the time in 1997 that, and really that's the majority of those people have come on since 1997, the 111 people that we currently have who are in the fully hybrid plan. They don't have any look back provisions or anything like that. They have a DB benefit, but that DB benefit is reduced from the 47 that have the other DB benefit. It's a lesser benefit, and they also have the DC contributions and stuff. And that's frankly the majority of the staff people in this room are in that aspect of the plan. Anybody who came after 1997 would be part of that 111. So those are the total active employees you can see there. Now, in addition to that, in this plan, we have retirees receiving benefit. There's 96, as of now, there's 96 retirees that are actually receiving DB benefits that are being paid by Wells Fargo in monthly checks. So those are obviously participants in the plan from that standpoint. And then, in addition, we have people who have left the authority that have vested benefits have yet to start receiving retirement benefits due to age or whatever, and there are some 88 of those that are eligible to receive a DB benefit sometime in the future. With some of those 88, that 18 is a subset of that 88, with some of those 88 also having a DC aspect. If they were in the newer part of the plan, they had also a DC benefit associated with it. So I know that's confusing, but I wanted to give that information to sort of see, to give you a little bit of a flavor of sort of how the demographics of the plan participation works. Yes?
There's no lump sum distribution to the defined benefit.
That's right.
Unless
it's small enough. There is, if it's
under $10,000.
If it's a smaller amount, it would be. But that's right. And then those that have a DC, of course, there would be a lump sum distribution for those that have the DC. I know that's, any questions? I mean, it's, that's why I'm showing this.
Can you explain that one more time?
Well,
word for word.
Yeah, quiz. It's confusing, trust me, to us who work with it every day. That's why I was trying to give y'all some background on it again, because I know that it's confusing to figure out. But that's the plan that again, you all are responsible for and that we're looking at here. Okay, next slide. This is just real quick. I've already talked about this. This is the optional 457 plan, which I've already mentioned and stuff. It's a supplemental plan. It's optional. It includes 50% match. If people participate in it, up to 3%. And as I said, at 49%, as of right now, there's about 49% of our current employee base contributes to that plan. So they're putting some in and getting the benefit of the match just as a supplemental. Okay, next slide. I think this is the last slide here. And this is just to summarize. A couple of years ago when we chose to freeze the plan, when the committee and then the board chose to freeze the plan, they really directed the staff to move forward to amend the plan to separate the defined benefit component from the defined contribution component in order to ultimately terminate the defined contribution component. Since we had a frozen plan, well, in a perfect world, if you have a frozen plan, you might consider, why don't we just terminate the whole plan? And you could do that. But it's much more expensive, extremely expensive to terminate the defined benefit aspect of the plan right now, which I'll explain in a minute if you'd like me to go into. But the defined contribution opponent, which has all these various account balances for all the employees, it would seem to make sense, since there's no more monies going into them, to distribute those monies out to the employees so they could choose to roll them into IRAs or whatever types of vehicles they might have, and at least get those out of the plan. It would save on not only the administration of the plan, but also put that control into the employees' hands, because that in effect is their money. Those are vested dollars. The future retirement benefit they get from the DC is gonna be dependent on its performance, investment performance, and it seems most logical that should be then therefore the responsibility of the participants to be able to control that, rather than the committee to control that, which of course y'all would continue to control the investment and the defined benefit aspect.
Can they take that into the other plan that they have, the Texas?
Cannot move it into TCDRS. They do not allow rollover to TCDRS, which would be nice in a way from a consolidation, I agree, but they don't allow that. So they would have to find, and there's a number of avenues, as you all would know, that they can do to keep it as a qualified plan, to keep the tax consequences, push those out in the future. When we get to this point, they could choose to, of course, just take it out as a distribution, but then there's tax consequences and stuff. So what we have been doing is working with both our actuary, and we are prepared, and the resolution that's coming up is to actually get authorization to take the next step, which is to work to employ a pension attorney to help us to complete this process, which is the first step, which is to actually amend the plan so that we can separate the DB from the DC aspects, effectively create two plans under the plan of terminating the DC plan.
Will the DC plan be frozen then, after they're separated?
It's frozen. It's frozen.
There's no new money going into the DC plan.
Absolutely. There's
it
no
all
new,
goes to the Texas.
Okay. That's right. That's okay. Right. No new money's going into the DC plan at all right now. It hasn't been for 2 years.
Okay.
It's strictly changing based on its investment return.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
It's going up or down based on its investment return at this particular point. And that's why we really want to get it in the hands of the employees, that they have that control over that, because that's their thing. Obviously, on the defined benefit side, the benefits defined by the plan, and so it's the responsibility of the committee just to manage it in the best way to try to minimize the funding that's required to pay that benefit over time. So that's what's brought us to this point. We're in the process. There's a resolution that I'll read in a second for y'all's consideration to really sort of officially allow us to continue that process, but I want to make sure you all were still on the same path as far as the direction we want to go, and be happy to answer any questions that you have about that just moving forward, because the future is we split the plan into these two plans. We terminate the DC, distribute the assets out of the DC. There's a fair amount of logistics involved in ultimately doing that. There'll be educational meetings with employees to explain what's going on. We'll be working with Wells Fargo and the BlackRock and the other investment managers. Will they'll have to liquidate some of their monies and stuff to be able to do those distributions, and all that'll have to happen. But the first step is you actually have to get yourself legally in a position to where the IRS approves the separation of the plans and the termination of the DC plan.
What happens to those employees that have, they took the option of either the defined contribution plan or match up with defined benefit? What happens to that group of employees? Am I making sense with what?
No, you're talking about the transitional employees.
Yeah.
If we were to distribute those monies out, that is a good question as to if you distribute those monies out, how do you do the comparison?
David, have you thought about that in the future?
David, I just thought I'd get a big lump sum
of money and retire and buy a boat.
We will look at that. That's a good point.
Because match there, so how do you
need my address to mail that check?
Have you thought about that? Okay,
because we'll have to figure out the impact of that. That'll be another item that this attorney will get to wrestle with and stuff and see. Hopefully that won't derail this, but we'll have to
pay $500 an hour.
they love that question. Thank you.
That's right. That's part of the thing of this complexity of this way they put this plan. I wish they put this plan as a DB and DC back in 97, but they didn't separate it. Made it a lot
simpler. I imagine when the plan is split, we will have to address plan document that states how we're going to handle
the transitional.
It'll
be handled, but it's yet to be determined how we'll figure that out.
Because the DB is what it is, but
right.
The DC is.
And it's going to be whatever it is in the future, and if you look at it together.
John, how long does it take to dissolve that DC?
Well, my optimistic view, I was hoping to get all that done in this calendar year, but from preliminary discussions we've had with actuaries and some counsel we've talked with, just to get an idea, indicated that it's months to be able to get the plan split and then submit them to the IRS, and nobody makes any promises as to how long it'll take before the IRS would rule on the a determination letter is what they give to sort of bless what we're trying to do. And then after that, it can actually move fairly quickly after that. Once it actually gets done, the administrative aspects of separating, there's training and things like that that we would need to set up for employees to understand what's being done and the distribution. You'd set a particular date of distribution, and you have training out ahead of that, and people would have choices and options and would indicate those as to how they want to move their monies. Things obviously coordination with the investment managers and the trustee and everything to make sure the monies they would have to liquidate, the managers have to liquidate holdings and stuff like that to make. There's about $2.5 million out of the $21 million in the plan, or $22 million in the plan. So it's about roughly 10% or a little less than 10% of the total assets are on the DC side. So those would have to be liquidated so they could be distributed out. So.
It takes quite a while, because sometimes IRS has a little question and it takes a long time to answer that little question.
Yes, and there were this, so we're certainly at their whim. But it would be fortunate if we could complete it this year, but I wouldn't guarantee it. We'll have to see if it can get all complete this year. Does that make sense? I mean, from a standpoint of where, again, moving forward, does that still make sense to move forward? I mean, it just seems like our biggest concern is, and I would think y'all's concern would be, having responsibility for investing the DC assets on behalf of the employees when that is very much their retirement, part of their retirement benefit, and that y'all have the responsibility to invest those assets. And clearly we know employees have different retirement horizons, timeline horizons, and things which would indicate they need to have their own tailored investment strategies, and you cannot possibly do that and with one investment strategy for all of them. So that's really the reason that's making that impetus, is creating the self-directed. And we thought about just doing self-directed investments, keeping them in there and just allowing self-directed, we could do that. But there's just ongoing administration costs and things like that too of it, and when the plan's frozen, it just seemed like it makes better sense to get the monies out and let employees put it where they want to put it. So anyway. Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? And I'll, there's a resolution. This simply will allow us to continue to move forward with the right legal and consulting help to make this sort of a complicated process keep moving forward.
Okay, would you read the resolution?
Okay. Be it resolved that the general manager CEO is authorized to enter into contracts for legal and or consulting services to complete the retirement plan amendment for the purpose of separating the defined contribution component from the defined benefit component in order for the separate defined contribution plan to be subsequently terminated and the vested account balances distributed to participants. Be it further resolved that the general manager CEO is authorized to take any and all further action necessary to accomplish termination of the defined contribution component of the plan.
So moved.
Okay, second. All right. All those in favor? Oh, we're going to call the roll. Yes?
Chairman Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
David Collinsworth?
Yes.
Jim Forte?
Yes.
Matt Wheelis?
Yes.
Okay, so motion passes.
Great.
And we'll move on now to discuss.